الحمد لله وكفى سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأتقياء وعلى أصحابه الأسقياء ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم شهد الله أنه لا صل على سيدنا محمد إمام أهل السعادة وزين الأنبياء والمرسلين الخيار وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أما بعد
The wise and the righteous they say if you erect a wall, if you build a wall, when that wall will come down, you will be disappointed. And if you don't build unnecessary wall, then there will be no disappointment. And that is one of the wisest human beings, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, Karramallahu Wajhul Kareem, said to one of the seekers, one of the questioners who asked him for nasiha and for guidance. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, he said that do not be upset, don't become sad if you lose anything, and do not be happy and overjoyous when you attain something of this world. And the sa'il, just to explain the saying of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, the sa'il, the questioner, he said, how can I achieve this state? How can I achieve this state? Because it is in human nature, normally a person will feel upset when they lose anything. And if they gain anything, they will be happy. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala indicated that this happens when you in the beginning attach your heart with something of this dunya. Somewhere in the past, somewhere in the beginning, somewhere in your life, you have attached your heart with something of this dunya. Thereafter, when you lose this or you gain something, then this is your state. It is bound to happen. One of the saintly person, righteous person, his house was robbed by some thieves, robbers. And in the morning, people came to say their and express their worry and their concern and to share his grief, to lighten his grief and burden. And they saw that person whose house had been robbed, that person is in prostration, in sajda. He is in sajda. He is prostrating and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the people who came for afsos and to express their grief and concern and sadness and to encourage him and to give him little bit of enlightening his burden, they were somewhat surprised that we are worried and we came to this person to lighten his burden that his things have been taken away, his house has been robbed. And this person is in sajda. This person is in prostration and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is this? This is the difference between the person who become the servant of Allah and us. Otherwise, they look like us as well. Outwardly, they are human beings. They have eyes, they have ears, they have stomach, they feel hungry, they feel thirsty. We pray, they pray as well. We do many good deeds and they are also seen. But the difference comes out at the time of test. The difference is seen when something happens or something does not happen. Something happens according to what you want, or something happens against your wish and will. Any test or calamity befalls you, you become ill, or someone betrays you, you have been oppressed, or you are suffering, that is where you will be known, the real you. Otherwise, in normal circumstances, all people are actually enjoying. There is a difference between the wali, the friend of Allah, and the friend of dunya. And the people who are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like I'm giving you the example of this person explaining the saying of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa karramallahu wajhahu al-kareem. This person, they asked him that how is it that you are in prostration and thanking Allah while you have lost much of your property, of your house. It's like, for example, my house is robbed. Or I lose something. I might not attend prayer that day. Oh brother, I had this robbery in my house. My things have been taken away, you know, I might actually lose the prayer. I might become forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the tazkiyah, the purification, the tazkiyah, the science of purification is done so that you become successful in these type of tests when they come. When a husband is doing zulm or abandons the wife, or when the wife is betraying, is becoming disloyal and rebellious to the husband. That is the time now that she is seeing that how you react. Otherwise, good and well, mashallah, you meet everyone, say assalamu alaikum, they say walaikum salam, how you are, and everything is fine and going, things are being done. But it is these matters which makes the difference. So this person who was in frustration and thanking Allah whilst his house had been robbed, and we are people of such nature that we are finding hard to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the blessing which we have. We are not thankful when even we are in a blessing. And then there are these people whose blessings are being taken away and they are thankful. We almost have everything, I mean, like Sayyidina Awful Azam Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmullah said that many people, they lose their iman and faith as a punishment from Allah because they never thank Allah on such a great blessing that they have iman. They will think they have a good car, they have a beautiful wife, they have a big house, and they have many other things. They will be thinking that they should be thankful. But one of the greatest blessings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed anyone on this face of the earth is the blessings and ni'mah of iman, faith. Because this faith, this iman, and or having this iman makes you a candidate of eternal success forever and ever. Other things, the worldly matters, the problems and afflictions of this world, they are not long lasting. Nor is the joy and happiness of this life long lasting. But if a person dies without iman, with faith, then the eternal punishment. And if he dies with iman, alhamdulillah, one day he will be entering the realm of Jannah and Paradise. And as I said, that Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he said that one of the reasons why people lose faith, they die without iman, in spite of they being Muslim in their life, and no one should be confused by this, that how can I lose iman? Many people, they accepted Islam on the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after his physical departure from this world, they became apostates. They became murtad. They turned away and turned back from Islam. Those people who became Muslim and they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because they were not thankful. They were not thankful. They were not appreciating. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa sallam mentioned in the Quran that my rule and my way is لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ, if you will thank for a blessing, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, I will increase it. If you thank about iman, iman will increase all the time. وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ, and if you become unthankful, إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ, then my punishment is severe. My punishment is the most severe, and that severity sometime takes the form of that the person dying without iman as a kafir and a disbeliever. He will be living as a Muslim, but the janazah is of a disbeliever. And that is a very strange thing. And there are many reasons for that, and one reason is that you never think of this blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He bless you with iman. Rather, we are looking at other people who are worldly, things, another blessing which are temporal, which are gonna go away. So this Buzurg, this saintly person who was thanking Allah in frustration when people came to his house to just share his burden that his house has been robbed, his things have been taken away by robbers, like here sometimes happens. And they said to him, how is it that you are thanking on a robbery and we don't, and we are not able to thank Allah on blessings? How is that? What are you thanking Allah upon? How are you thanking Allah? What are you thankful about when your things have been taken away? He said, I am thanking Allah on two things. I am thanking Allah on two things. One, I have been robbed, I haven't robbed someone. That's one blessing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed, that I have not oppressed or taken or robbed anyone else's house or things. Someone has done from me. I am thanking of that. Second thing I am thanking, that they have robbed something of dunya, not of akhirah. Not of my relationship with Allah. If they had come, if I had such an affliction, such a problem, that I missed my prayer, I became forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was a musibah, that was a loss in deen and akhirah. So I am thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sujda, that oh Allah, I thank you that you saved me and you saved myself from doing anything like this some other people have done. And secondly, that the musibah or the problem or the affliction has come in my dunya, in my worldly things, not actually in deen. So these are the people where a person can, their lamp of guidance, vehicles of guidance. And we, small things happen and we just are outraged and explode like bombs on each other. Sayyid Ahmad Kabir al-Rifai, one of the contemporary men, he was living in the same time as Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmahullah, great wali of Allah, Sayyid Ahmad Kabir. He was seen once writing something on the ground. And other people, they asked him that, oh Ahmad, what is it that you are writing on the ground? He said, I am solving a mathematical sum, a mathematical problem. I'm solving a sum of maths. They said, what is that? Are you studying math? He said, no, I am calculating underground that I am 60 years old now. And almost roughly over 20,000 days I have lived. Or less or more. He gave an estimation, was the calculating that. And he said that if I have lived 21,000 days, and in those 21,000 days, if I had only sinned 5 sins a day, I will tell them how many sins I will have. And these sins of the awliya Allah, they are like righteous things of us. Meaning they class sin, if they are focusing on something with full concentration on other than Allah or things related to Allah, they class that as sin. If they delay in something, offering something, their amal, their azkar and wazaif, it is like sinful for them. They consider it as a sin. Which we, for us at least, is righteous thing. To offer something but with delay is good thing for us. For them, it didn't. So he said that, and then he said that let me calculate. And he calculated that 21,000 days multiplied by five, if I had five sins and it came to over 100,000, they heard a very loud scream from him with the fear of Allah, and he fainted. And he said, how I can expect to be saved when I will have to be whole, I will be held accountable for all these things. Imagine, but me and you, we have no concern with things that we are not dying. That's our amal, that's our deeds say. That's what Hazrat Ibrahim al-Azam said, that with the tongue, you say you are going to die, but your deeds, they say that you are not going to die. Your tongue say that you have a Lord, you have a Master, you have a Creator, but your deeds, they say that they speak the language. They say, if a person looks at the deed, seeing that this person doesn't have any master, he is not a servant, he is an independent person. Because you pray whenever you like, you rob whenever you like, you commit zina whenever you like, whenever you don't feel like, you don't. That's the lifestyle of an independent person, not of a servant or slave. It's not the lifestyle of a servant or slave. So Sayyid Ahmad Kabir Rifai, rahmahullah, although he was a very, very high-ranking person, so much highest that when he went to the Medina Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered his salam, and he heard the salam back from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He also saw the blessed hand and the ziyara of the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and kissed it. He was such a high-ranking person. But he is counting his sin. And me and you, if you don't count, doesn't matter. Really, it doesn't make difference that you count or not count, because angels are counting and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to help to hold you accountable for one thing and the other. So, I mentioned to you in the beginning that the problem lies when you attach your heart with dunya, then you become, dunya becomes the remote control and you become the slave. The dunya becomes the master and you become the slave. It's like if anyone falls in love with someone, a man with a woman or a woman with man, they have given their heart to them, now they will control them. He might ask to leave his wife, children, and he might do it. He might ruin his business. His kingdom, many people have lost ministerial jobs, presidents' jobs, kings have lost kingdom because of they have given their heart to someone. So similarly, when you knowingly, unknowingly attach your heart with anything of this dunya, it's as though you have given your control center to that dunya. Now the dunya, the world or that thing is going to control you. People will say, come, let's go for prayer. You will say, I'm busy with my shop doesn't allow me. It seems your shop is your master and you are the slave. But on the paper it's written, you are the proprietor, you are the owner of the shop. But in practical terms, in reality terms, the shop has become the owner and you have become the athlete, owned. Because I can't do this because I have a shop. I have a factory, I have a takeaway. Oh no, brother, I am very busy these days. I can't actually give time for Allah or Deen. It's very, very difficult. But when the angel Israel alayhi salam going to come, what you are going to say? Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adam, one person said to him, that you, I can't leave sin. He said, okay, if you can't leave sin, when angel Israel comes, say to him that I don't want to go. Can you do that? He said, no, I can't. He said, if you can't do that, then you have to leave the disobedience of Allah. Because you're saying you can't leave the sin. If you don't have to die, then do whatever you like. But when the angel of death comes and you can't say no to him, then you must do something about it. It's a problem. And about this attachment with this dunya, all people, if you, that's what Rasulullah said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا the love of dunya ra'su, it is the source and the mother of all sins. Kullu khatiya. Hubbu dunya. Hubba means attachment to dunya. If I am doing fraud, if I am actually doing zulm upon anyone, if I am missing my obligations of sharia, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, behind it will be the love of dunya, the attachment of dunya, and the things of dunya. So that is why the shuyukh, the awliya, saliheen, they emphasize very much that if you become free from this element, yet your heart is detached from it, then you can live an independent person, you are truly a servant of Allah. And you become the owner of the dunya does not own you. And Rasulullah said, Kunu, become the sons of Akhirah, not the sons of dunya. Meaning, like the son serves the mother, you don't serve the dunya. Serve the Akhirah. The dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created to serve you. But it seems that you have to fulfill your rights, the rights of others, but when you go out of the limit and extreme, then the dunya becomes your master. How did some of the awliya Allah live? Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmahullah, he did a lot of mujahida. Mujahida means he was working on purification, tazkiyah on his health for more than 15 years. How we know the result of it? The result of it is known for us. Our result is a beautiful woman comes and our man and everything is gone. That is the result. That's showing what we've done for ourselves. We see 50 pound note and iman is gone. His benefit, the iman is gone. Iman meaning that the iman, the level of iman is that it's not able to stop you. The level of iman in the time of the Hajjah, the Fajr, iman can't open your eyes. That is what showing what you have in son. Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah said, whatever is in any vessel, when you pour, the same thing comes out of it. It's orange juice, and orange juice will come out. And he said, you say you believe in Allah and His Messenger and you are lover of Allah and His Messenger. That is your belief. I can't see. He said, I can't see what your beliefs are. But I can see what's coming out of your body. Your whatever is coming out of your body is not indicating that you have these good things inside you. How is it possible that you say, I have orange in here, and when you pour, it is alcohol? So the vessel does not contain. So he said that you are like a bottle, and you say, I have all these good things in you, but the deeds and the amal which come out of you are saying otherwise. So what shall I believe? What shall I believe is coming out of you? But if you say there is something else inside, there is love of Allah, there is love of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and iman and akhirah and other things. That's what you say by word. But when you do these, something else is coming out. So he, alayhi rahma, Buddha Sirul Aziz, as he said that this mena and this effort and endeavor is done so that when the time comes, like I'm giving you the examples, when shaitan is going to test you with all the love of the, and attraction of dunya, when the test is coming from Allah Azza wa Jal in the form of people, that's where you'll know that what work you have done. A person who goes into the ring, the wrestling ring, now his training is going to speed. If you're going to a driving test, now your instruction and the training of driving which you have taken from the instructor, now that's going to show. That is the time. So, I was saying to you that because these shuyukh and mashayikh, they knew that when the tests come, we can't prepare at that time. You can't appear immediately when you are under attack. You can't say, okay, I'll train and become a good soldier. That to become a good soldier was a time before. So, Hazur Ghawse Pak Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Rahmahullah, he has trained himself in such a way. That's why we see the difference, that when any of his children, a baby boy or girl was born, what's our state? Many people are happy, boys are born. They are happy with girls. And some are happy with both. They are very happy, they think now even their first prayer maybe has gone because they are a baby boy or baby girl. Aaj bacha hua hai, to namazi ke bas chali gayi, deen hi chala gaya, daawat deni ki wahi chali gayi. That is our state. Phir bacha aurat ko hua, maa ko hua, wo hamad ko to nahi hua, usko kya ho gaya? Why he is actually having effect? That is, even the fuqaha has said that even for the mother, they said she should also pray even in that state if she is not yet pure. It's not actually forgiven the prayer until actually she is pure. Although she is in pain, she should pray while lying down. But Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahimahullah, when the child is born, baby is born, boy or girl, people will bring. He will not be there, he will be doing something, let's say, they are teaching, was doing waaz and nasiha to people. Because he was teaching almost all time during the day, after Zuhur, after Asr, after Maghrib, and in Isha till Fajr he was alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And during the day he was engaging in with people. So when he was busy doing his teaching, his nasiha, his bayanat, they will bring, a person will come bringing the baby. Ya Sayyidi, this is your baby boy. This is your baby boy, this is your baby girl. He will hold that baby boy and girl like this and say, Hada Mayyat, this is dead. And I have expelled it from my heart. And he'll put it down. That's what he was here. Aap farmate hain ki ye mayyat hai mere liye. Yani from my point of view, from my heart point of view, it is extinct already. My heart is not attached to me. It's a blessing of Allah. But my heart is attached with the blesser, not with the blessing. And he would say, this from my point of view is damned. And I have taken it out of my heart and he put it down. And then he will do tarbiyah and think, now how can now this type of person do something bad or wrong because of his children? Because we, on the first day, we attach our hearts with the love of dunya, the children, wife, and so much so. Now when the child, a father would not say to the son, don't do this, it's not right. Because he said, no, the son will mind, or they wouldn't say to the daughter. They were just happy with their life, however they are doing. Although they are disobeying Allah. When they are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah, the son, the daughter, parents are very happy. My son is very modern, he is very up to date. My daughter is very, very fashionable. He knows how to actually live this life. They are happy when they are disobedient Allah and His Messenger. They are not worried. So they say, if they are good with us, it's okay. They are becoming very qualified in things. When the time comes, after 20, 23 years, that when they become disobedient to the parents, when they come into the youth age, then they become, some of them, disobedient to the parents. Now with the time, this thought clicks in their mind, yes, we should send them to the mosque, or we should send, go to the sheikh and say that, you know, teach them something about Allah and Akhirah and Deen, because they are not listening to us now. But that the time now of their tarbiyah has mostly passed. It is just now pure fazl and grace of Allah that is their guide. Previously, the person had been neglecting that as soon as along with the son is bringing his weight in my bank account and that daughter is studying and becoming a doctor, I am happy. But when he has developed wrong relationship, illicit relationship, and is not even coming home at night, now they become worried. So when they were disobedient to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are not worried. They said, no, we are right. And our son is very, very, and daughter is very, very successful in this life. But when they even abandon the respect and obedience to parents, that is the time when they turn to Deen and Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that is when it's too late. That is normally when it's too late. Then they say, give us ta'weez, give us an amulet, give us a prayer. But the ta'weez which they've been giving them for 20 years, that is going to be effective more than the ta'weez which is given by the other one. So, what I am saying to you, that the time to be successful and unsuccessful is not when the time of test comes, but it is prior to that you train yourself. Like every soldier trains themselves, every athlete trains themselves, every person who, old people who are giving a driving test, they train themselves. Regarding deen, we sit like dummies and shaitan comes and hits and they're very gone. And we say, oh, I was just sitting and I've just been hit. But that's how it's going to be. Shaitan is not going to come and massage your feet. He will actually try to finish you off whenever he can. And he'll be looking, and you are giving him a very good opportunity because I'm not doing anything. So Huzur Ghausepaak radiallahu ta'ala, that was his reaction to a blessing of this dunya. A blessing of this dunya that he from the first day had not attached his heart with the son or daughter. And now many people, they have good property, mashallah, and a lot of risk, but because of they are doing zulm, oppressing and possessing unlawfully wealth of relatives, wealth of friends, wealth of public, wealth of others, just to build property for the children, for the future of the children. And some are even thinking of the children of the children, but not thinking about their own akhirah. Not thinking about how they are going to go. This was his blessed action when the child was born. Now, the child lived, the babies, they became elderly people, young people in the youthful age. Some of them, they died. Some of them died. And he was, alayhi rahma, was doing a bayan, teaching the knowledge of deen to the people. And the news came that your baby, your child has died. He did not go home. He was still carrying on with the waaz and the siha. And what happened after that, the janazah, the funeral of his son was brought and put in front of him. And then he just got out of the chair and the minbar and left the janazah, and he said, take him to the grave, I'll meet him on the day of judgment. And he carried on with that week, whatever he was doing for Allah's sake. That was the attachment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That who left his mother at such a senior age, elderly age. And that was his treatment with his, because person normally, either they are touched by maal, a dunya, or children. These are great tests for person. That's why the Quran says, innama amwalukum wa uladukum fitna. Innama amwalukum uladukum fitna. Wa annaka indaha ajrun azim. That great tests are wealth and children. And whoever will become successful, there is a great reward and a smile. That was his attachment with his young children and elderly children. And attachment with dunya, well, I'll tell you a story as well. Attachment with that. Oh, how he used to teach. There was many students he was teaching fiqh, he was teaching hadith. There was one student who was not a very good student, who no one would teach. He didn't understand anything. But Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmahullah, he was still explaining. That's why Anbiya, Islam, Holy Allah, even though people don't understand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, لَهُمْ قُلُوبُ اللَّا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts, but they don't have any understanding. وَلَهُمْ آذَانُ اللَّا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. They have ears, but they don't listen. They don't have hearing. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنُ اللَّا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. They have eyes, they don't see. They have been under the spell of shaitan and dunya. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this, still Anbiya alayhi salam in the past and Holy Allah and in these times, they still carry on conveying their message because that is their responsibility. That is their teaching. People understand or not, they criticize them or praise them. So he was teaching this young man as a student, but this young man would not understand what he was saying. Other people, they were also surprised at how much effort Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmullah puts with this student, but he does not understand, remember anything. One of the other teachers came one day and he said, Ya Sayyidi, it's better you leave this student. He doesn't have the ability and capability to understand things, and you are also putting so much hard effort, which is not actually, we have not seen any fruits of it. Because what only Allah do, they know the wisdom and hikmahs of it. We can't judge them with our own judgment. So Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmahullah said to him that all this hard work which I am doing, only 1 week is left. Then I'll free him. I'll free him after 1 week. 1 week is only left of this hard work. He became silent before. After 1 week he will expel him or he will abandon him, just saying that you don't know, you study, whatever. But 1 week he said that I will be free from all this hard work. After 1 week passed, this student died. Ek hafta guzar gaya. 1 week passed, this student died. And then the others understood that Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahman knew very well that this person is not understanding, this person is not a good student in the sense, but because he was trying, he wanted him to die as a student so he could be resurrected as an alim on the day of judgment. And if he had expelled him at that time, then he would have been doing some other work and he would have died in grief doing that work. He would not have the status. A hashtag is based on his intention and effort. Now the basira, the insight, the knowledge which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani, because of that knowledge he could see that he is going to die soon. So he said, I only have 1 week of hard effort and hard working, and thereafter I shall die. This is how Salihin, that is why I very frequently mention you to the example of awliya Allah, because when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his seerah, they is first followed by the Sahaba is always. And on a lesser level than Sahaba, awliya Allah, they are following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a lesser level, not like Sahaba, but at a very high level. And we are lowest of those, so that our first step is to come like the awliya Allah. And when we will reach and we will follow, we will be able to follow at least other human beings who are not Sahaba but are Walis, then we will be in a better position to follow the Sahaba. And then when we can follow the Sahaba, Rizwanul Ajmaeen, we will be in a better position to follow more in a better and perfect way to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Step by step. That's how it is. That is why we teach this course and the tariq of Prophet Islam and tariq al-Muhammadiyya, that it equips you with the tools and with the abilities which you need to fulfill the covenant which you did. Some people ask me, can we do bay'ah? Bay'ah means doing allegiance, making a promise. Making a covenant, that's what bear means, that you make a promise with someone that I'll do this. And they say, vulnerable bear, because they think it's like chocolate or something like this. Something to eat or something drink, and then we'll have it and everything is going to work good and bad. But that's not the case. The thing is that we say, and our shuyukh, they say, that you've already done one covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world of spirits. You've done one bear there. You've done one bear with Allah. When Allah will ask you, Alastu bi Rabbikum, am I not your Lord? Will you remember me when you go in dunya? And we say, yes or no, how can I forget you? But here, a beauty of this world, affection of this world, the food of this world, a car of this world, has made us forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we forgot that ahad. Is it one bear and covenant you've done with Allah? And second covenant, when you said, La ilaha illallah, I bear witness that there is no God but only Allah, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, you've done a promise with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that from now on I'm going to follow you. You see, two covenant, two bear, you already done. Have you fulfilled them? You know, well, if you not fulfill them, then this course of Tariqah Muhammadiyya helps you to fulfill the promise and the bear and the covenant which you've done with Allah and His Messenger. And after you fulfill that, then ask about the other bear. Then you want something extra. Because La ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the covenant, it is the kalima which you say, then you are bound now. You are bound to follow. And that is what the shuyukh actually say, that we should look what we are doing, not what we are saying only. And we'll be saying and claiming is nothing. There is a story that a hunter who was hunting animals and birds and killing them, he got so many birds in a net, and now he was slaughtering the birds. And at the same time, crying and weeping as well. And with his, and crying with his, and it could be heard with his mouth as well, the sound and weeping. That one bird said to the other bird, although he is slaughtering, but he seemed to be a merciful person. He seemed to be a merciful hunter. There seemed mercy in his heart. The other bird said that don't look at his tears, look at his hands. That he is merciful or not. Don't look at his eyes and his mouth. Look at what his hands are doing. Hands are slaughtering, that's how what we are doing. With our mouth and, you know, eyes, sometimes one or two tears come and few words about praising Allah and loving Allah and Messenger. But the angels and the Messiah, actually they say, that look at what these people are doing with these bodies, not with their sins. That is why everything on the day of judgment is going to be speaking. Hands will speak, feet will speak, eyes will speak, ears will speak, but one thing will be stopped from speaking. And that is what Allah said, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ. That at that day we will put a stamp, seal the tongue and the mouth. Because it is not worthy of it if it is not followed by testification of the amal and deeds. So on the day of judgment everything will speak, the tongue is not. Because no value of it if it is not accompanied by the proper testification of deeds. So that is why I invite myself. Firstly, I am more sinful, I consider, believe more sinful than you and you, that we are in this world and we should help each other. And if we are already, mashallah, successful and doing good deeds, fulfilling the rights of people, rights of Allah, living pure lives, then your responsibility is to help others. Then still doing with someone and help others. And if you yourself are struggling and drowning in sin in day and night, and then you need help. And if you need help, help is available free of charge. and we should help each other in that matter, and somehow take our faith and good deeds on the day of judgment. Because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Man ja'a bil hasana," that whoever will come with one good deed, falahu ashru amthaliha, I will give 10 times the reward of that one deed. Man ja'a bil hasana, whoever will come with one deed, he will be given reward like of 10. But one of the righteous, knowledgeable person, he said that you should not be deceived by this verse, because it is saying that whoever will come with one deed. He said, now the question is, it's not saying that whoever will do one deed, they will be rewarded 10. It is saying who will come with one deed. And that means, where he will come? On day of judgment. And if going to day of judgment, before going to the day of judgment, I lost my good deeds here, what I'm going to take there? Because if you go take no good deed there on the day of judgment, you're not going to get any tenfold reward. So he said that this verse is referring to Man Medane Hashar, the day of judgment, that whoever will do good deeds, but they will have to come with it as well, safeguard it as well, and somehow reach with that treasure on the day of judgment, and then hand it to angels, and they will actually then reward you by the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you, by doing riba, by committing adultery, by doing all other different sins, whatever good things you have done, if you lost them already before death, then there will be nothing there to be expecting any reward of. So this Tariqah Muhammadiyah, this also helps you to safeguard the good deeds which you have done, and also if you don't have, it actually equips you and enables you, and it is designed in such a way that it is designed for people who are living and engaged in the world. They are in worldly life, living their life with children, wife, or they are alone, they are working, they have friends and things. It is for these people. It is for these people, not for the people who are living in an isolated jungle or in a cave somewhere, because they don't need much effort anyway. It is these people who are living fully worldly life, and whilst living this life, they can also become a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the day of death will be the most joyous day of their life, when they are going to meet their Lord, and it will be the greatest pleasure they are going to see on that day. Now if you have any question, or you want to give your names to know about this this course and this methodology, please do.
Any questions? Raise your hand.
I have a question that if you are our teacher in a similar situation to someone else, how do they see that person when they come and see them? Do they know he's been sinful, or he's been not following righteous path or not?
Right. Well, he's saying that how do we see any person who comes to a teacher, how do they see him? Firstly, they see that person better than themselves. Anyway, no matter how much sinful they are whatever they've been doing or they are doing at the moment, they never consider that person lowly in the sense, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their status high. Firstly, is it. And secondly, they feel privileged to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which this person is becoming means to. Meaning they are not saying that we are doing ihsan, or we are doing a favor to this person, but they think that we are being favored, that this person is letting us to serve him. They become their servant, in the sense. And thirdly, they are doing all this work that they do not consider they themselves deserve to do this work or guide or advise people, but they do as following a command of Allah, as a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one should propagate a good thing, one should help others, one should give good advice, etc. And so as a command, it's like the obligation of Sharia, not that they consider them high and others actually lowly. So inside, but outwardly, for their betterment, they convey the message. Sometimes it is harsh. It is harsh, like the physician and doctor, sometimes they have to operate on some ill person because actually for their greater good. And that's how the awliya Allah have been working. Because if you think really little bit deeply, they don't have any jurisdiction, any police power, any punishment power. They don't have anything of like the government or the people who are in the government they have. For example, if you are not following the traffic rule, the police has power to revoke your license or actually give you point and things. There are many other things. But awliya Allah and the righteous and Sufiya, if you think really, they have no other force or pressure other than what the thing which they use is the love only. The love of the sinner and the hatred of the sin. So they don't hate the sinner, no matter he's done 100 murders in his lifetime, but they will hate the killing of 100 people, but not the killer. As such, they will separate that person. So really, only tool they have is love, which they use. And considering other person better than them and trying to help you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they pray to Allah. The other power which they have is the power of prayers. That in the night time, when people sleep, they get up in the prayers, in time of the hajjah, and they raise their hand, and they pray for these people. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them, opens their heart, He makes them steadfast, He turns their heart towards obedience. These are love and asking help from Allah. These are the two powers only they really have. Other, they don't have any physical jurisdiction, nor power, nor any sort of punishment which they have in the system.
Any more questions?
Someone has asked, how do you help a person who doesn't heed advice whether it be good or bad? That a person who doesn't listen or take advice, good or bad, how can you help that person? Answer is, first thing you can do, as I was saying before, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving good advice to the people during the day when he was doing dawah. Many people were not listening to him. They didn't like his advice. So what was he doing? What he did, that's what we should do. He did two things. One is that he stood in the night time and prayed for them. In his sajdas and in his prostration, in his prayers, he was praying for them, the guidance for them. Asking Allah to change their heart. Then, this is one thing you can do, but this is done in seclusion, in loneliness, when you are in time of the hajjah, night time. You pray two nafal of need, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're praying for such and such person. This is a great power, that you're calling the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second thing which you can do, if a person is not listening, or paying heed, you shouldn't abandon your relationship with them. You should still keep some kind of contact, social contact with them. Meaning if they're not listening, if they don't want to hear about Islam, just keep a contact with them. Meaning asking how they are, what they work they are doing. But they have a communication line with you. Because through that, one day you can send guidance and they might pay heed to it. So meaning, in other words, if they are not listening to you, you also do use the same tactic which Shaitan uses on people. To bring them, he bring them for misguidance, you use the same method to bring them towards guidance. What does the Shaitan use? What does the devil, how does he do? Not all people pay heed to, or they listen to the devil. Righteous people, most people are good, and righteous people, and pious people, they do not listen to him in the very beginning. He comes to them one day with them, he said, don't pray, for example, commit this zina and this sin, etc. They don't listen. When they don't listen, he doesn't say, okay, he doesn't listen to me, I'll just abandon him. He's going to Jannah anyway, I shouldn't be bothered about him. And I'll go somewhere else. He doesn't do. Shaitan still, then what he does is he said, I'll make a long-term plan for him. He's not listening to me at the moment today, I'll make a 5-week plan. I'll make a 5-month plan. If he doesn't, she isn't coming in that, I'll make a 5-year plan for him. So some people, including me and you, Shaitan have his plans working for 5 years. He wants to see us in a place B in 5 years, and he's gradually getting us there. And we do not know. So that's the same technique we use people to free from his shackles. That if they don't listen to us in the first meeting, second meeting, or third meeting, or they don't want to listen, or they don't want to hear, we also plan a long term for them. That this brother is not paying heed, but I'll keep contact with him, and for over 1 year I'll make a plan for him. My plan is that I'll invite him on such a party, or such a day in my house, or I'll go, and I'll have, and slowly. Now if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to guide him, he'll guide him. But that is the way to deal with those people who do not listen to you. You don't abandon them, you just change your tactic and technique. And that's what the Shaitan is doing. If Shaitan had abandoned those people not listening to him, then there would be, I think, millions and millions of good and righteous people. He, all the time, even a wali becomes a wali, he still tries to put hopes in him that he will still become for misguidance. He tries to lead him. That's why I say that even the righteous people who consider themselves pious, they are also in great danger. For them, there are more vicious and more dangerous and more shrewd plans of Shaitan which are working for him.
Any more questions? Or would anyone like to give their name and to learn the path towards Allah? And learn the tools and techniques one can use to free himself from the shackles of Shaitan. Any names? About 5 to 10 minutes or so. I won't take much of your time. Just for your, that window shopping person goes on the internet or goes to the store. Do you know what's your name? Do you know?
Farid.
Maher. Okay. Those are still thinking of raising their hands or thinking of asking any question. Just a couple of announcements, inshallah. First of all, I should have mentioned earlier, but next week, inshallah, the program will be in Bolton in Medina Masjid. So that's the next week's program on Monday. And another announcement to make is that inshallah, when the Fazl of Allah, I mentioned it earlier in my introduction, but the brothers have just arrived, that from Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, this week, every day from 6 till 7 on Wednesdays and Thursdays, people throughout the world will be able to now hear the blessed words, and blessed words of wisdom and the Siyah on DM Digital. So inshallah, please speak to your families and ask them to watch these programs. We're blessed to be here, but many people cannot come to Manchester or Hyde or Bolton. But now this is a window which has been opened now, not just in the UK, but internationally as well. So those brothers, please, you know, remind everyone and ring them. This is maybe the start of a little mini, you know, invitation to other people, so you can remind them as well. And inshallah, to add further, tomorrow, till Thursday, inshallah, there'll be a camp which will go, which will be started from Bolton. So there'll be an opportunity for brothers to spend a couple of nights and a couple of days in the path of Allah, learning the do's and don'ts, learning the course of self-purification, and then also reminding other people about the path to Allah. So if there's anyone that would like to give their names and would like to spend a day, a couple of days, however long they can, on this blessed, great journey, inshallah, please stand up and brother can write your name. This is in Bolton, in Medina Masjid, inshallah, from tomorrow, Tuesday, till Thursday. For those brothers who do weekend jobs, this is an opportunity for them to spend just a couple of days in the path of Allah.
JazakAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you in your time. And as the brother was saying, the lectures, and be it on TV or otherwise, they don't change people's lives really. They only create thirst. So you will find very few people, there will no channels of Islamic channels before now, maybe there are 10 or so. But I yet have to see a person whose life has been changed, because actually by just actually watching the channel. We are very, very few. Because the discourses, the speeches, and the bayanat, and all these things, they only create some kind of concern that you need to do something. They don't take you anywhere. So with that same mindset, that if you convey the message to others, and when the right level of thirst and want is created, then the person says, I want to change, then the way of the tariq or the path to Allah then actually helps. We were in London on the weekend. There one person came to the mosque first time in 48 years. And guide, you can guide people like this. He said, 48 years he not been into the mosque. He is Muslim, and been Muslim all these years. But it's the first time. So you never know that when you give message, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might change that person's life. See, there were a few people who intended to keep the sunnah, albeit of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the time people are, mashallah, they are responding. And for this we need to convey and keep on saying, some will reject, some will accept. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to convey. And firstly, when you will convey, the message will come to you first as well. Your ears will be listening before anyone else's ear listening. And inshallah, they say that one of the benefit of giving da'wah is that you yourself will become established on deen. Because like the muazzin, the person who says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, he makes announcement, Hayya ala salah, come for prayers. He makes a da'wah. But what is the benefit to him? Anyone comes or not, his prayer is saved. His salah is saved. Who comes to say adhan, his salah is saved with the jama'ah. Anyone comes or not, his salah is saved. So similarly, a person who does the da'wah of deen, his deen, inshallah, it will be saved by the Father of Allah, Subhajan. JazakAllah for listening, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you in this world and the hereafter. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiru wa natubu ilayk.
Allahumma salli wa sallam. Thank you.
When you are doing zikr, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be in the mindset of that Allah is present with us, hearing us, seeing us, and we are calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from our hearts and with our tongues for forgiveness, for guidance, and praising Him, glorifying Him. And when we send durood and salam and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be in the mindset that you are blessings, and durood and salam is taken by angels and will be presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or be in the mindset as though you are yourself in Madinatul Munawwara and sending durood and salam upon the beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا
Mawlaya salli wa sallim.
Allah,
Thank you.
O Allah, you are the most merciful, Ya Rahman Rahimin, forgive our sins and our transgressions and our wrongdoings and our bad deeds and all our shortcomings. Ya Rabbal Alamin, the Lord of the worlds, the purpose which you have created us for, we have forgotten that most of us. And we are going against that purpose, and we have become the servant and slave of this world, material world and shaitan. Ya Rahman Rahimin, enable us to wake and stand up, and then be steadfast and walk with strength and steadfastness towards your pleasure. This time is very limited. Soon the time is going to expire for us. Ya Rahman Rahimin, enable us to leave this dunya in the state of iman, in state of ihsan, in the state of faith. Ya Rabbal Alameen, Ya Rahman Rahimin, free us from the shackles of shaitan, in the planning of shaitan. Ya Rahman Rahimin, cleanse our hearts from all what you dislike. Decorate our hearts with all what you like. Ya Rahman Rahimin, enlighten our inner self with your love and the love of your messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the love of Akhirah and the love of the righteous. Ya Rahman Rahimin, enable us to safeguard our tongues from sinful speech, from our eyes from sinful glances, and from our ears from sinful hearing. Ya Rahman Rahimin, save us from thinking and planning evil and sin. Safeguard our minds and hearts. Enable our hearts and minds to be in your presence. And be in your thoughts. Be in your love. Ya Rahman Rahimin. Fulfill our lawful needs and our lawful desires. We have no other Lord than you, Ya Rabbal Alameen. You are our only Lord. You are our only Lord. We ask from you, we beg you, Ya Rahman Rahimin, we grant us the goodness of this world and hereafter. Whoever is in need, any problem, any trouble, any affliction, Ya Rahman Rahimin, set out all difficulties at ease. Ya Rahman Rahimin, remove our griefs and worries. Save God from us from the punishment of this world and the hereafter. Grant us your pleasures and your closeness in this world and hereafter. Safeguard us from the punishment of the grave. Enable us to earn lawful, pure livelihood. Whoever has a livelihood or business, grant them barakah and blessing in the halal, and save us from the haram. Those brothers and sisters who have intended to walk on the path to your pleasure, Allah, make it easier for them.
Ameen.
And turn the hearts of all human beings and jinnah towards your deen and your love and your sharia and the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rahman Rahimin, whatever goodness we have not been able to ask, grant us that as well.
Ameen.
And whatever evil we have not been able to ask refuge from, grant us refuge from that evil.
Ameen.
Many brothers or sisters, they have difficulty and have asked for prayers, who have some court cases or some other problems and difficulties and illnesses. Ya Rahman Rahimin, you are all aware. Set all these people who are in problems and difficulties at ease, and enable us to learn lessons from our mistakes and sins.
Ameen.
Once we sin and we are in trouble, we call you, and when we come out, we again go into the lap of shaitan. Save us from our disbelief and disbehavior, and enable us to understand truly, wisely, the wisdom behind problems and affliction.
Ameen.
Ya Rahman Rahimin, do not let us be captive from the attractions of the world. Make us the captive of us of your love and your obedience. And Ya Rahman Rahimin, become ours and let us become yours only. You are our only Lord, and when we meet you on the day of judgment, meet us in the state of pleasure. We seek refuge and protection from your wrath and your punishment. Ya Rahman Rahimin, Jamaalika Yawmiddin, Ya Dhul Jalali wal Ikram, wa sallallahu ala nabi ummihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima. Amin.
Astaghfirullah.
Those brothers who gave their name to the course, if you want to know about the course, can they see this brother here? Those brothers who gave their name to the course, and if this I mean,